This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek, Jeff Gagne!
Hello, Jennifer, and hello, listeners. We definitely have a fun episode for us today. I can't wait to jump right in because we are going to be talking about a lot of people's favorite animal here on Earth.
Oh, I'm so curious. What question are we solving today?
Do whales have germs?
Do whales have germs? Oh, I can't wait to hear the answer to this question. Who is our guest today, Jeff?
Jennifer, today we have the awesome Dr. Amy April. And she is an associate scientist and marine biologist at the one and only Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Welcome to the show, Dr. Amy.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jeff. It's so exciting to be here today.
Oh, we are thrilled. And I mean, I'm just going to jump right in. We're going to talk about whales. You get to study whales. Tell us how awesome that is.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. These are just the biggest creatures in the ocean. They're so massive. And, you know, when you're on the boat and they look right at you, you feel like you're having a moment, you know?
That's where you're going to start us? The whales look at you?
Whoa.
Really?
You so thought what, looking at the moon was cool, looking at a whale.
Oh my. Okay.
So what kind of whales, right? Like, tell us what kind of whales you study.
Yeah. So mostly we've been studying humpback whales. These are found in basically every ocean in the world, but we've done a little bit of work with blue whales and the North Atlantic right whale. So we dabble in a few species, but mostly we've been working on humpbacks.
Okay. And what are you studying about them?
So we're trying to figure out if they have germs, if they have microbes. So,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
How do you figure that out? You go down there and swab inside the whale's mouth.
You open your mouth. We're going to swab you.
Yeah, you know, just like a COVID test you and I have. Stick it up there. If only it was so easy.
Oh, right. Yes.
Well, first we have to find a whale.
That's the first challenge.
And then we basically have to take a sample from them. So when we started this work, we were working on humpback whales in Hawaii, I know, totally amazing place. And we'd go out on the boat with scientists that were able to take a skin sample from the whales. So these folks were specially trained to use a crossbow and arrow to aim it at the whales, just like a hunter might. And they would take a very, very tiny piece of skin from the animals. The animals, they never felt it. There was no reaction, but it allowed the scientists to get a really important sample to look at a lot of things. But what we did, we were the first to really look at germs on the whales.
Okay, so the crossbow, I assume it hits them and then you can pull it back?
Yes. So it hits them and it takes that little chunk of skin and a little bit of blubber and it just bounces right off. And the dart has a float on it and it just floats in the water. And then we just go pick it up with a net from the surface of the water.
Okay. That's just cool, right? Whoever came up with that, that's really awesome.
And who thought of that? That's like, I feel like that's the kids out in the neighborhood with a Nerf gun. You know what would be awesome? If I had a gun that would just like hit you just a little bit, and then I could pull it back. And this is what you guys are really doing.
This is how we really get the samples. And yeah, you're right. It's probably how it started. And let me add, these people are highly trained. Permitted to do this. Do not try this in your own ocean backyard.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, I mean, you do it so that it doesn't harm the whales. And, you know, we don't want people to do that. So you get the sample And then what do you do with it?
Yeah, so then we bring the dart back onto the boat. And what we do with the sample is we freeze it immediately. And what that does is it preserves everything on that sample.
Okay.
Because if you study germs are basically just microbes, like yep. bacteria. And there's good and bad. We'll talk more about that hopefully in a bit. But you can't see them, right?
Right.
So I can't study them on the boats, especially that we use to approach the whales. So we can get the germs frozen, and then they go back to my lab in Woods Hole. And that's where all the magic really happens. So what we do is we look at those samples a couple different ways. One thing is we look at their DNA. So right, because we can't see them, but we can still detect the DNA using a lot of the same methods that are using to detect COVID now, we use those same kind of methods to detect bacteria. And so we were the first ones to actually say, like, hey, these guys have loads of bacteria on their skin and what kinds of bacteria they had. So that was very cool. So DNA can tell you a lot. And then we went on to verify, you know, that the DNA analysis was correct by using microscopy. So we looked under the microscope at these cells using a really high powerful microscope that let us see the shape of the bacteria.
Ooh.
And what we found Ooh. Was that there were two main kinds of bacteria. There were some that formed these chains. So they were small little rod bacteria that would just form chains together. Right. Like you might make like a, you know, a chain necklace out of dandelions. So they'd form these okay. long chains just across the skin. And then there was another kind of bacteria that were these thin rods, and they can actually move. They can like slide and glide on the surface.
What? Oh, that's cool.
So what was neat about our finding is we found these two like morphologies or types of bacteria that were able to really spread out on the surface and colonize that surface of the whale.
Okay. So maybe this will be a good point to ask, what is the difference between right. good and bad bacteria?
So most people know bacteria as bad bacteria, right?
Like right. The it makes bacteria, you sick.
Yeah, exactly. But actually, like all life, especially all mammals, humans, even we found whales, have good bacteria too. And so these are the bacteria that help keep you healthy. So you can think of, you know, like the bad ones as the villains and the good ones as sort of like the superheroes that are like sure, doing right. stuff. Yeah. To bump you up. So we're still working on exactly what these bacteria are doing, but we found some pretty cool things during this whole analysis. We found that the bacteria on their skin of the whales it's really different than the bacteria in the water around them. Right. Huh. So we know that it's specific. We know that they have these specific ones, probably for a reason. We also know that we were able to sample some moms and their calves, which are their babies, which were right, more, okay. you know, just days before we got the samples. And they had the same kind of bacteria, which really wow. suggests that mom is giving them to the baby.
Right.
You know, through that, they're like nursing, there's a lot of close contact. So that also suggests that there's a reason that they're sharing them with their young. And then the other thing we've learned from looking at just these bacteria were like new to science when we started looking at them, right? But they're related to some bacteria that we find associated with fish. In those cases, what we think they're able to do is to provide some antibiotic protection against the villains, right?
Wow. Okay.
As well as helping clear that surface skin, like eating some of that dead skin, right?
Because if right.
Sure. you're a whale in the ocean, you don't want a lot of extra stuff, right?
So whales slough off skin kind of like humans do? Because I know we do every time, you know, we brush our hair, take a shower or whatever.
Yeah, they do. They leave skin behind. In fact, kind of the most iconic pictures of whales are when they come out of the water to do those big like breaches, right?
Like, right, sure.
Fish, but they like haul their body out of the water and then boom, pound yeah. down on the surface. They actually lose a ton of skin during that process.
No kidding.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Exfoliating dives out of the water.
Yep.
I will never look at a whale jumping out of the water the same way again.
Maybe they just needed some exfoliation. You
know, yeah, they don't have loofahs for whales, right?
Okay, so I have a question. Were you surprised to find all of this type of bacteria on whales since you guys were the first ones to look?
We were. I really thought that we were going to find the same bugs in the seawater that were, yeah. you know, also on the whales. And you know, I thought maybe there'd be like a little signal, but it was just so prominent. And it was a really simple microbial community too. Like I study microbes in a lot of different environments, including coral reefs, and they're so complex. But on the whales, it was like mostly two kinds of bacteria, and that was it. And so that was really surprising too, that it was like really specialized.
So with the two kinds of bacteria, is there one that's good and one that's bad for the whale?
Well, we think that both of these are probably good, and we don't know for certain, but we think that because basically every whale we look at has them. And all these whales that we're studying, we're working with scientists that measure other things about the animals. And so from everything we can tell, they're healthy. And humpbacks are actually a pretty healthy population overall, which is one of the reasons why we started the study with them. We didn't want to start looking at sick whales right away because we don't know what's what. So we think that they're healthy.
So I want to go back to, how do you find the whales?
That's what I was going to ask.
Because we've been to Hawaii. We went on a whale watching like tour. We saw nothing. Like
I was going to say, we started off the podcast with, well, we find a whale and then we study it. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. Time out. What? People pay for whale hunting tours all the time. You spend 7 hours out on a boat and they're like, oh, sorry, everybody. No whales today. Come back again later.
That is a great question. How do you find the whales? We use a couple different techniques. I mean, we try to go places where we know there's likely to be whales. You know, for example, in Hawaii, there's not whales year round, but they come in the winter to do their breeding and mating. And so we kind of have a window of time. And then when you go out, I go out with people that are really good at looking for whales.
There you go.
And what they're doing is basically just like staring at the horizon all day and looking for a little puff, a blow coming up.
Wow.
That's the exhale of from the whale. Yeah. Or just a little bit of the surface of the whale.
And then you like go really fast and they may have swum away by the time you get there.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to scare them away. So you can't, once you start approaching them, and there's all these rules about what we can do when we get close. But yeah, you do have to be careful. The jackpot is when we find like what we call a competitive pod, which is like 10 whales together.
Oh, wow.
But then the challenge is, did we sample that one or that one?
Oh,
because you can't keep track of them once they go under the water.
Yeah. And like, to me, who studies microbes, like a whale's a whale, right? But I work with these people that are like, oh, no, that one totally looks different than that one, Amy. Like, can you see the you know, the fluke on that or the coloration?
I love that, because you're Dr. Amy out there on this boat working at Woods Hole. So you are very smart in your own right, but you're having this conversation of course, that's not the same one. That is, once again, not everybody on a science mission has the same knowledge, which is why working in teams is really good.
Right.
Absolutely.
I don't even think this is a question. It's more of an observation of, I think the fact that you said some of the guys that are super good at finding whales, how they do it is they literally sit on the deck and watch the horizon.
Yeah.
That couldn't possibly be any lower tech. It's just using eyeballs and attention and going that way. Like, I feel like that's how Columbus saw whales in 1492. Like, it's amazing that in the same sort of scientific experiment and mission that you're doing, that you're using such high levels of technology that you also combine such low levels of technology to get the whole thing done.
That's true. And I have one little story to add to that, too.
Please.
So even though we still find the whales the same way, I work with another group of scientists who've been flying drones over the whales.
Whoa.
And what we're doing is they're able to capture these like amazing images, which gives them a proxy for kind of the body mass and health. But the other thing they do is once they find the whale that way, they can come lower and anticipate when the animal is going to come out of the water. So using those drones, if it's pretty clear water, they can watch the whale underwater.
Okay.
And when they know when they're going to come up to the surface, so they can anticipate that. And then what they can do is try to position that drone over the blowhole. And that's how we've gotten samples of whale breath. or exhalant.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So it's, you have the drone catching the whale's breath.
Exactly. That's that's another way we get samples. Yeah.
Okay, that's high tech, Jeff.
That is the absolute opposite. And I think both of them are fascinating.
So do you get like occasionally whale sneezes or something like that that they catch too? I mean,
that's basically what we're getting, you know, when they're before they take a breath, they're exhaling. So a lot of people have seen those very iconic photos, right, of the sort of whale scout. And so that's what we're doing. We're flying it through that, getting all the goopers and everything.
And then you're like, yay, I get to go back to my office and like analyze the whale snot or whatever you get.
It's so cool.
That's a fun job. I'm sorry. That's a fun job.
It is.
So bringing us back to where we left off the conversation, now knowing that whales have germs, what are you hoping to learn now that you know that whales have germs?
So we're hoping that these germs can tell us about the health of the whale itself. You know, I always tell kids, like, how do you take a whale to the doctor? Right? Like, no, basically. So you have to figure out other ways to estimate their health. And microbes or germs are a really good indication of health. But first, we have to learn what's normal. And that's the stuff that we've been working on in my laboratory is characterizing what kinds of bacteria normally live there. And once we figure that out, then we can develop an assay where we get a skin sample, we get these breath samples, which are taken like totally, you know, without the whale noticing even, right?
Right.
It's happening in the air above them. And then we can use that in the future, hopefully, to detect health or to say something about their health. So that's really what we're working towards.
That's cool. So I'm also curious because we've had scientists here who study the ocean and pollution and climate change. Can you use any of this to kind of figure out about the rest of the ocean or where they live or anything like that?
I mean, microbes are amazing because they are so fast growing and they can respond really quickly to changes in their environment. So that's why they are a really good indicator of health, of whale health, you know, but even microbes in seawater can tell us about how that ecosystem is doing. So absolutely. And this is something that we're working on in coral reefs too, is trying to, can we take a bucket of water and tell something about that, the health of that reef, rather than sending poor divers down there for hours, you know?
Right. Well, and trying to get samples off the reef, which may or may not damage it and all that kind of stuff too.
Exactly. Right. So it's very minimally invasive to take a small sample of the microbes.
What an interesting process for kids to kind of pay attention to. If you're listening to the whole process where you're taking literally the tiniest things off of the whale, the microbes, to learn about the entire animal, it is absolutely fascinating. And I know you're studying mostly humpback whales. Are you hoping, or will you need to continue studying the rest of the types of whales? Are you expecting that other whales have germs and they have a similar job? The germs themselves have similar jobs on other species of whale?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have been working on some other species of whales, as well as some dolphins and even seals and sea lions. So other species of marine mammals, basically. And what we found is that each species has its own specific bacteria, but those that are more related, like in a family, and not the family you and I think about, but there's these biological families that are related, so they also have more shared bacteria. So there's this really interesting element that suggests that through evolutionary time, that these relationships have developed and sort of specialized to the species.
That's very interesting. So how did you get into studying whales? Like when you were a kid, did you know this is what I want to do when I grow up? Or you just, you know, just kind of let everybody know where you got started?
I grew up in Missouri and like the
almost no whales. I grew up in Illinois. No whales.
No whales. No coral reefs. And I got interested in the ocean from the pages of National Geographic magazine. And I just was infatuated with the photos and the idea of studying this environment would allow me to like ask questions and use my brain every day. And so it was like totally a whim, like, I'm going to go to school to be my marine biologist, you know, which is like what a lot of kids say, right? You should try it. Yes. And it worked. So yeah, I love it. It's the best job ever.
I would love to be able to, we're going to Hawaii again soon. I would love to be able to go whale watching and see the whales this time.
So will whales be your entire career, or because you've been studying whales, like you just mentioned, you started to study bacteria with some other types of animals as well. When you start studying one animal, might that lead into something else? Or do you think for you, whales will be what you're going to stick with?
I'm already pretty diverse in what I study. And the unifying piece is really the microbes.
Okay.
That's what I have the technology in my lab to study. And so like we work on coral reefs, we work on coral disease. We have some projects on local fish. And so what's cool about that is, you know, there's a couple areas that we really try to keep going, like the coral reefs, and I love the whales. We're going to keep with the whales.
Yes.
But, you know, I have students, you know, they're working towards their PhD that come to me with an idea. And so as long as it can utilize some of the techniques in my lab, usually we can accommodate that kind of research. So it's wonderful. It's a way that I can really share the expertise and grow it into other areas.
That's one thing we talk about here is, you know, problem solving and critical thinking and how important that is, and how when you discover something, it just makes you ask more questions, right? To keep figuring out, see if you can figure out where it's going. And it sounds like you started with, you know, kind of the whales and all the different things, but now you're starting to make connections possibly, right?
Absolutely. Like there's some relationships and patterns of similarity, for example, between what we're learning about the whales and the corals and trying to develop these health metrics. For me, that's like really what I'm jazzed about right now. Like there are so many cool questions. I could just ask about one species of bacteria on a whale, for example, right? I could have a whole career looking at that. And people do, and it's awesome. I mean, that's how we know about everything. You know, you need people focusing on one thing. But for me, I'm really jazzed about trying to develop this idea of using microbes to detect health.
Very cool. And yes, actually, what you just said, using the term health metrics, actually just connected in my brain to how do you bring a whale to the doctor? Are these health metrics potentially going to be a way that you could bring the doctor to the whales? To where you will have enough information about the animals, the microbes, and the ecosystem that you would be able to tell if something was wrong or know if they were healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the dream.
That's really cool.
Then we have the information to start solving the problem. That's, you know, some whales are doing great, some not so great. A lot of them are like changing where they're living right now because of climate change. So that's a, that's a big problem we're worried about. But sometimes it takes a while to actually see a change in the whale, right? Like see a loss of weight, to see like a lesion develop on the skin. But we think that by looking at the microbes, we might be able to see some of these things that might be coming down the line a little bit earlier.
I think that's just so cool. And I do have to ask one question about the whales. Can you give us an idea? How big are they? Just because, you know, this is not a visual podcast. So I'm like, tell us how big these things are.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're around 50 feet long and weigh about like 60,000 pounds.
It must be so cool to see these animals up close. I mean, just the beauty of them is probably just staggering.
It's amazing. I mean, you think about, I don't know, like 8 or 9 SUVs probably next. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Right.
Okay.
The school pickup line, like the 8 parents to get there first. That's
yes. Okay. So since you have seen whales up close with your own eyes, when that happened and the whale came out of the water and you saw the whale, was there something that you saw that either caught your eye or surprised you about, like, was it shinier than you thought? Did it have a different texture than you thought? Or
You know, the thing that I really thought about is like, what is that whale thinking?
These little tiny people.
Like, what are they? I mean, they have these long lives too. Like, they've seen a lot of different kinds of boats probably in their lifetime. Like, there's one species of bowheads, they can live like 300 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, they have recorded a lot of change probably in their environment. I guess I sort of envious of them as the ocean experts a bit. So I think that was our moment of exchange there. They were probably like, who the heck are you?
Oh, look, like, little oh, Taim is looking at me again. Well, this has been awesome. So we ask if you have a challenge. Do you have a challenge for the people that are listening?
I do. I do have a challenge. So you can study microbes too at your own home.
Oh,
you don't always need a fancy microbiology lab. What you can do is go online and order these kits that will allow you to make petri dishes to grow bacteria. So these are just little dishes that you just melt some nutrients and like a jello agar type substance in the microwave, and then you can pour your own plates. And then with those plates, what you could do is you could ask the question of, do you have the same bacteria as your pet, like as your dog? Or do you and your sibling have different bacteria? Or can your bacteria change after you wash your hands? So there's lots of cool questions you can ask. And basically all you need to do is make those plates and then find some just cotton swabs and, you know, swab your skin or swab your mouth, depending on what environment you're interested in, or your breath, and then just swab that on the petri dish, close the lid, and just let it sit at room temperature. It might take a couple days, but what you'll see are these colonies, groups of bacteria that are growing. And what you can do is you can count them between you and your pet. You know, how many are on each one? Are the colors different? Because they can have different colors. Some are orange, some are light yellow, some are white, some are purple. So even though you're not identifying them or really looking at them under a microscope, you can still see differences between bacteria from different hosts, like a human and a dog.
Okay. I think that's fun. Are you going to do that with your daughter, Jeff? That sounds like a fun thing.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely we're doing the comparison. Who has more germs, Zoe or Dad? We're definitely doing that one. Don't tell. I'm going to wash my hands beforehand, though. Okay, I guess everybody knows now. Yes, that sounds like a lot of fun. However, I do have to ask one more question before we turn off the recording. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Was all about humpback whales saving the earth. Did humpback whales save the earth?
That is a great question. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know if this audience even has access to that movie. It's so old.
I'm hoping some moms and dads will share with their younger crowds.
Yes, I think there's hope. I think there's hope that the whales will step up. And, you know, maybe it's their microbes, their superhero microbes that will actually do the heavy lifting there.
Okay. I will tell you that since you said humpback whales, the entire time I have had a picture of what a humpback whale looks like in my mind, thanks to Star Trek IV.
Gosh. Well, those of you that are listening, go to our website, solveforkids.com. We will have pictures of real humpback whales there. And also we'll have instructions for how to do what Dr. Amy said, because I think that's going to be really cool. This has been a fabulous show, Dr. Amy. I have loved learning so much. Thank you so much for being on Solve It for Kids.
Thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Well, how fun was that? Talking about a favorite animal like whales, and especially doing it in such a way I never would have thought of, trying to learn things about whales and ourselves by comparing germs that we have in common.
Right? I mean, I think that is such a cool concept, and I hope that a lot of our listeners will go and do what Dr. Amy said and get the petri dish, because I've done an experiment like this before and you won't believe what you see growing in those little bits of agar and all that bacteria. It's kind of gross.
I think the reply to that is ew. But sometimes science experiments have to be a little ew for us to learn stuff.
Exactly. So don't forget to go to our website, solveforkids.com, and learn more about Dr. Amy and Woods Hole Oceanographic. And if you do the Petri dish, send us some pictures or something. You can tag us on social media. We are at KidSolve on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Absolutely right. And until next time, we will see you on
Solve It for Kids.